Albayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to Albayan Live. I'm Abdurrahman, and I'm very pleased to be joined by my dear beloved Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad Duwa. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's good to have you with us once again. How has your week been?
Allah barik fiqh, Sheikh. Always a pleasure. Wallah, alhamdulillah, it's been good, Sheikh. You know, same old routine, as they say.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah make our affairs better and easier and lift us from this current situation. Now, dear Sheikh, alhamdulillah, once again, we are discussing this beautiful topic of being careful who we take our knowledge from. Now, this is part four, Sheikh. Where are we starting from tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bi huda. Amma ba'd. Today, Sheikh Abu Abdurrahman will be a continuation from where we left off in our previous segment. In the previous segment, we were speaking about how the Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors, they themselves would warn against innovation and its people, in order to protect the religion of the Muslims so that they do not fall into misguidance and whatever else. As we've been mentioning throughout these segments, that knowledge is the most important thing that a Muslim can gain, and it is even more important that the person only seeks their knowledge and takes their knowledge from the people of knowledge of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. But we mentioned some of the Salaf's statements regarding this, starting with Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and that's something that maybe not many people are aware of, that this warning from innovation and the people of innovation is something that the Sahaba themselves radiallahu anhum were the first and foremost to implement. People should not see this as something strange, that when you find the Muslims warning against innovation and innovators, that this is simply following the footsteps of our pious predecessors from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and onwards. If we were to take one of the many quotations from the Salaf on this topic, we've got the great Imam Abdurrahman al-Mahdi, rahimahullah. He was quoted as saying that verily the worst of the people of innovation are the people of Jahan. This was his quote in his time, where he said the worst of the people of innovations are the people of Jahan. And we touched up on who the Jahmiyyah were in our last segment, Sheikh. They're the ones that distort Allah's names and his attributes. He said, they intend to say there is nothing above the heavens. They intend to say there is nothing above the heavens. Imam Abdurrahman al-Mahdi, rahimahullah, he linked the Jahmiyyah as being the worst of innovators simply for this reason, even though they have so much misguidance in many fields. But he summed it up in this one reason, where he said they tend to say there is nothing above the heavens, meaning they deny the istiwa and the ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above his throne and being above the heavens. But then Imam al-Mahdi rahimahullah, he continued and he said, I view, yani in his opinion, they should not be accepted for marriage or inheritance. And this is an example of how the pious predecessors used to take very firm stances towards innovation and its people. They used to exile them from their lands. They used to, even under some Islamic khalifas, under Islamic Sharia laws, they were punished by execution and whatever else for spreading corruption within the religion and within the hearts of the Muslims. For the pious predecessors, they did not take these matters lightly, and as you can see, they would advise the Muslims not to accept people of innovation. Obviously, innovations are of different levels and categories, and here he's talking about the more extreme ones.
Now, Sheikh, Just while I have you there, this once again shows that the severest of innovation is the innovation which is affects our aqidah, in the aqidah, especially in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Definitely, without a doubt, Sheikh. And as you yourself know, that innovations are of different levels. There's innovations that are major shirk, there's innovations that are minor shirk, and there's innovations that are major sins. All innovation is not allowed, but obviously some innovation is worse than others. And the innovations that the Salaf used to attack and fight against, no doubt, were the innovations of aqidah. And to have innovation in aqidah is the worst type of innovation, because this is related to your belief as a Muslim. This is one of the many examples, and there are so many examples of how the Salaf advised the Ummah to be cautious regarding this topic, and to be cautious who they take their religion and their knowledge from.
Sheikh, you mentioned there as well how they were in regards to marriage. So subhanAllah al-Azim, we can maybe derive as well that, you know, when we're marrying our children, when we're recommending who our children should marry, who they should marry, it should be for those, first and foremost, of sound aqidah and belief.
Definitely, without a doubt, Sheikh. These days, you know, everyone has children, the Muslims that have children, their children grow up, and then the sunnah of life is for them to get married. And that's another very important topic which we can, you can even make a whole other segment on it. Who do I marry? Who do I choose in marriage for my children, for my daughter, for my son, for my sister, and so forth? And there's no doubt that the fundamental point that a Muslim must look for is a person's belief and their aqidah regarding what they believe in terms of iman and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to investigate whether or not they are from the people of sunnah or the people of innovation. Unfortunately, many parents are very lenient in this topic today, and it's either due to ignorance, because they themselves don't know the importance of aqidah and whatever else, which is why they should be learning, but also due to different aims and objectives. These days we want our children to marry doctors and lawyers, and we're looking at one-sided things. We want our children to be what they claim comfortable in life, and not to struggle and whatever else. And this is there's nothing wrong with having this intention, but if that is the main intention of a person, then they've missed the target without a doubt. What's the use of marrying my daughter to a doctor or to a solicitor or to a multimillionaire for argument's sake, if that person is not someone who believes in Allah Azza wa Jal correctly, if that's someone that has deviance in their creed and whatever else? If anything, my child, who I give in marriage to such a person, there's no doubt they'll only live a hard and a struggling life. Money is not everything, Sheikh.
Barakallah fiqh, Sheikh. That's an amazing point there. So we should look for deen, as the Prophet ﷺ told us in the hadith, look for the one with deen and khuluq, and you'll be the winner.
Nah, without a doubt.
We're moving to now, Sheikh. Barakallah fiqh.
Wafika barak, Sheikh. We move to another quote for one of the a'imma by the kunya of Abu Qulaba al-Basri, rahimahullah. He said, do not sit with the people of desires, meaning the people of innovation. Verily, even if you don't enter into what they are upon, they will confuse you. Subhanallah, this is an advice from the imams that we should not sit, mix, listen, give our ears to the people of innovation, because they, as he had advised, even if I'm not going to take what they say, there is the possibility of them causing confusion and doubt within the Muslim's heart. And that's why the Muslim should stay away from any type of knowledge or any type of da'wah, any type of preaching that creates misconceptions towards the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and so forth. And this type of advice is coming from a'imma who understood the aqidah better than anyone else, people that we do not fear would have been confused in any way, and yet they had that confusion for themselves. They had that fear of confusion for themselves. Then what about us, Sheikh? Yani, we should be even more cautious and wary as to where we take our ilm from, so that we are not deceived by people into teaching us things that are incorrect in our religion.
Now, Sheikh, I don't know, I don't want to take you down memory lane, but if you remember growing up, someone would have a nice car and he would look after it like nothing. He would clean it, he would protect it, he wouldn't drive it in the wrong areas just to keep it away from getting harmed or scratched or damaging the tires or damaging the body of the car and so on and so forth. This is a car. This is a metal, an engine, a motor, whatever it may be. Look how cautious we are not to harm it and damage it. And what about our deen? Subhanallah al-Azim. It just brings back memories of all these guys and their cars. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about because we grew up in a similar area. Immaculate cars, and they'll do everything to protect it. And what about our deen? Why should we let it be exposed to that which it shouldn't be exposed to? We should keep it clean and pristine and to the highest of quality.
Subhanallah, without a doubt, Sheikh, and that's an excellent point, Yani. Why do we preserve and protect and look after these materialistic things, but when it comes to our iman, which is really what decides our, it's our hereafter, it's our eternity of happiness and whatever else, Yani, we're so easy to neglect it and be neglectful of it and allow any type of filth or dirt or, Yani, in that sense, from misguidance and innovation and whatever else to enter upon it. For there's no doubt we have to be protective over our religion, over our knowledge, over our iman, more than what we are over anything from the worldly life.
Barakallah feek, Sheikh. Now, moving on to any other quotes that you would like to highlight for us tonight regarding this amazing principle and very important principle?
Naam. Allah barik feek, Sheikh. We take another quote by Abu Muhammad Hussein al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, also from the early scholars. He was quoted as saying that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the Tabi'een and their followers and the scholars of the Sunnah, they are all in consensus, meaning no difference of opinion between the companions, the Tabi'een and their followers and the scholars of the Sunnah. They are all in consensus in having enmity to the people of innovation and abandoning them. Subhanallah, the first point that Yani comes to mind here is, as we know, Sheikh, when the ulama Yani claim or when they give the verdict in their books of ijma', it's not something light. And the alim only claims ijma' when he is certain upon this. Because as we know, ijma' is a hujjah, it is one of the proofs of our religion. But for a scholar who fears Allah to claim ijma', it means he has done his research and he has not come across anything in his life to have opposed this opinion. And this shows that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and all of the a'imma, they had agreed towards enmity of the people of innovation. And enmity of the people of innovation, Sheikh, is not to be misinterpreted to think that it is something bad. No, enmity towards bid'ah and the people of innovation is part of our religion. It is part of our religion, and to abandon them is part of our religion. And enmity towards them means to refute them, means to warn against them, means to advise Muslims to be cautious from them and not to take them as our close allies and not to take them as our close friends and whatever else. This is what it means, and that's what it means to follow the footsteps of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa ardahum. This is an example that shows that they did not take these matters lightly, because they understood the danger of deviance, especially in the field of aqidah. They knew the poison and the destruction that it can cause within the Muslims. And the truth is, all of these sects that came out in Islam, the only reason that they came out in Islam was because of their innovation, beginning with creed. Their innovation in creed is what sprung all of these sects and brought them into existence. Another quote which I would like to mention, Sheikh, is the quote of Ismail al-Sabuni rahimahullah, who reported in his famous book Aqidatu Salaf wa Ahlul Hadith. He also mentioned the consensus, the ijma' of Ahlul Sunnah in the obligation of subduing Ahlul Bid'ah and humiliating them also, by warning against them and exposing them and mentioning them in order to protect the Muslims from their harm. And he said in his book, he said, this is the statement which has been established. And this was their aqidah, all of them, meaning the people of the Sunnah and Ahlul Hadith. He said, this was their aqidah, all of them. They never differed in this. You would not have the a'imma differing in these major fundamental topics of aqidah. He said, and they agreed upon that. And they also agreed upon subduing the people of innovation and humiliating them, abandoning them, exposing them, and staying away from them, and staying away from those who accompany them and consult them.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah, yani this is just to shed light on how they dealt with these topics. Yani, you know how they say an accomplice? They also addressed this, the Ahlul Bid'ah. Not only are they the evil ones, but even the ones who are close to them, who consult them, who go to them, that this is a warning, because it's to close all the doors to misguidance. Because how do the doors to misguidance open? They open by, it starts from something easy. It could be attending a lesson, could be reading a book, could be listening to something. That's why our imma used to warn from this entirely. And subhanallah, Imam al-Sabuni rahimahullah is telling us that this is what the Salaf had agreed on when it came to the people of innovation, to humiliate them, abandon them, exposing them, and staying away from those who accompany them and consult them. And then he said at the end of this great statement, and they, meaning Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they seek closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal by staying away and abandoning the people of innovation. But this is a ibadah in itself. It is a worship in itself, which the people of the Sunnah seek closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal with, because it is from the greatest forms of protecting one's religion.
Allahu Akbar. That point itself is great enough for us to implement this great action, that we're getting close to Allah by fulfilling this great act, following the Sunnah, following the Salaf al-Salih, especially the Khulafa. And subhanAllah al-Azim, many people feel that it's too much upon them to do this, and I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be that. But look at this. They're actually getting closer to Allah by implementing this great principle in Islam. SubhanAllah al-Azim. Amazing point, dear Sheikh.
Allah ibarik fiqh, ya Sheikh. If we were to take one more quote for the night, it is the quote of Abu Yusuf al-Qadi rahimahullah, who simply said in one of his statements, I do not pray behind a Jahmi or a Rafidi or a Qadari. I do not pray behind a Jahmi or a Rafidi or a Qadari. And the Jahmi meaning the Jahmiyya, which we touched upon. The Rafidi being the Rafida, also known as the Shia. And the Qadari is the ones who are the Qadariya, who have deviated in Aqidah, in the aspect of the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These imams used to say these types of statements so that the Muslims can follow and be like them, all of this in order to protect the religion.
Now, Dear Sheikh, before we finish, just a question here, and it's relevant to what we're going through today. You gave many examples, barakallah feek, from the Salaf regarding shunning, rejecting, boycotting. And this is a type of physical boycotting. Now, at the moment, we're pretty much all at home, a lot of times on devices, phones, YouTube. Do we apply the same rule online to the principle you taught us today?
Definitely, Sheikh. Allah barik fik. Excellent question. When we say that we have to be cautious and not take this matter lightly, that's regarding everything. Your knowledge source with today's technology and whatever else, the source of knowledge is so many. People seek knowledge not only in the masajid by sitting under their mashayikh, but attending the masajid, YouTube, Facebook, social media, Instagram, online lessons, institutes, attending institutes, colleges, and whatever else. You have to have this type of mentality throughout everything that is providing Islamic information and knowledge to you. We cannot be lenient and say, oh, I'm bored at home, I'm listening to a lecture. It's just a lecture that I'm listening to, or it's just a book that I'm reading. No, we have to have high standards when it comes to our religion, the highest of standards, and to make sure that that lecture which I'm listening to online is from someone trustworthy from the Sunnah. That book which I'm reading is from someone trustworthy from the Sunnah. That masjid which I attend is from the people of the Sunnah that we trust, and so forth. This is something that we implement in our everyday life. Parents even need to be cautious regarding their children and the schools that they attend. Many Islamic schools, okay, but we do not necessarily know individually every teacher that teaches at the school, what our child is being taught in specific, in details in the school. Yeah, there are set curriculums and whatever else, but a teacher has a huge part to play in how they preach and what they call to. But we should be investigating, asking our children, getting into the details of what they are learning in their schools in order to preserve and protect their religion also.
Barakallah fiqh, Shaykh. Once again, it shows the importance of preserving our religion, looking after it, and making sure we know where we're getting our sources from, because knowledge is deen, as we have mentioned over the last few weeks. Shaykh, any final comments for tonight?
Allah barik fiqh, ya Shaykh. Just, you know, for our brothers and sisters to take this matter seriously, anyone who is enthusiastic about learning. Learning is not just about opening a book, listening to a lecture or whatever else, like folder. No. In order to seek knowledge, you have to follow the correct steps of seeking knowledge. And for any brothers or sisters that want to take that further step to increase in knowledge, the first thing that they need to do is learn what it takes to be a student of knowledge. And from the greatest books compiled on that is The Etiquettes of a Student of Knowledge for Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. I assume it's been translated, Sheikh. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
I think there's the one for Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd as well, rahimahullah.
Also for Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd. Any of those great books that teach us how to be a student of knowledge is definitely where our brothers and sisters should start before taking that leap into seeking this great worship, which is seeking knowledge for Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Jazakallah khairan once again, Dear Sheikh, barakallah fik, and inshallah we'll have you with us next week. I'd like to thank all the brothers and sisters for being with us tonight, and until next week, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Barakallah fik, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.